Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show. Well, hi, everybody. I think you're going to truly enjoy this show today with my friend. He's my guest. His name is Joel Vendette, and he is the executive director for the nonprofit Home for a Home. Welcome to the show, Joel.
Hey, Marcia. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm excited.
Me too. I'm inspired by what people do and why they get involved in nonprofit work, and we're going to be hearing all about that. But I thought how we could start off is just have you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself so we get to know you a little bit.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, let's see. My name is Joel Vendette. I am, as you know, the executive director of Home for a Home. I went to school in Boston at Boston University with an advertising or mass communication and sociology minor. I served as an art director for many years, working at different organizations, mostly in print, and then I became an agent, and now I'm here.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And
it's
so, I think that, you know, we met many, many years ago when I think you were involved in the Chamber of Commerce. Is that how we met initially? In the LAX Chamber?
Chamber. Yes.
That's what I thought. God, that was a long, long time ago. So
we're
going to be talking.
So it wasn't that long.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Oh, I'm going to enjoy your jokes throughout this program. So our show is about your nonprofit, Home for a Home. And I thought we could just sort of start with how did it get started and when did Home for Home start?
So the organization was founded in 2012 by a real estate agent up in the Bay Area as a way for agents to come together and give back. He had done a lot of work as a kid and missionary, and I think, you know, as an agent, he was collecting really good checks because agents are really successful and do very well, and he realized he wanted to do something good in the world, and so he started exploring the idea of having the organization. He spoke to some friends, and they all said, this sounds great. Next thing you knew, they decided to get it up and running, and here we are 12 years later.
Wow, it was founded in 12. When did you join the organization?
I joined in 2015. That I became a member at that point.
I see. But okay, so here we are. We've got this Home for a Home, and I mean, obviously when you start a nonprofit, which this is, there's a mission. So what would you say the mission is for your organization?
You know, our mission is very simple. It's to provide homes to those in need. It really is that simple. That's what we do.
But, the people can need homes in many different places. And we're going to talk specifically about Guatemala. But you mentioned that you started in 2015, so the organization had already been around for a few years when you got involved. What made you want to be part of this organization and become the executive director there?
So when I joined it, I am still a realtor, but that was when the real estate was my full-time profession. I've always been the type of person who donates their time, donates money into organizations and causes that I believe in. And I was looking for a way to give back, and I came across Home for Home online, and I reached out to them, and somebody happened to be in Los Angeles at the time where I was living, and we met up, and I was like going, okay, this is the most full circle thing that I can do as an agent. I'm able to help people purchase a home and then turn around and fund a home for a family that may not ever have the opportunity to have a place of their own. And when I heard about the conditions that these families were living in, it just made it hit even harder. And for the amount of money that we do things at, like I said, it really is just full circle as mm-hmm. for me. And that's why I did it.
Are you still in real estate yourself right now?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm very busy.
Yeah, well, you know, that's good. I mean, everybody, you know, busy is good and successful and satisfied and purposeful. Those are all things that when we wake up in the morning, we go, I'm really grateful for my day. I'm grateful for what I do. I'm grateful for the difference that I make in people's lives. And I know that about you, that's the person that you are,
That was another thing that attracted me to the organization is that the career that I was doing full-time as an agent, it's hard to donate your time because a lot of organizations want you to commit to certain hours. For Home for Home, you fund homes based upon donations. So for me, I would donate a portion of my commissions back to my fundraising account to hit my goal. So I could go out there and work more and help more people in real estate and then turn around once those were done and then help somebody else. And so it worked perfectly for what my business mm-hmm. model was.
What a balance. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that says so much about your character. And I say that in a polite way, but then you are, a character, I'm just saying. Okay. Because I know you. Okay, so... that's true. So tell us, because we're all listening, what are your responsibilities as their executive director? What are you responsible for?
Oh, geez. So we are a small organization where I am pretty much I am the only employee. I do a lot. So I'm responsible for basically becoming the face of the organization, and I want to help us propel into a new area where we grow the organization and we have more people that are working to do good. So I'm responsible for the marketing. I do the outreach. I put the events together. I manage the back end. It's pretty much everything. That's what I do. I mean, I'm monitoring the website. I do this work on social media campaigns. It's a lot. Yeah.
But you love it, don't you?
I do. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Well, you know, I think if there weren't rewards involved, if there wasn't the satisfaction of knowing those kinds of differences that you make, you know, and you think, and I know we're going to talk about some of these stories and some of the things that you've done with the people in Guatemala. But
But you're completely right. That's what makes the workload that I have is because I love this organization, like from the bottom of my heart. When I joined them, I was blown away by the work that they do for what we deem as a smaller amount of money, the impact that we can have. And I can see that. I get the photos of the before and after, and I'm like, okay, we are really doing this. So this thing should be as big as it possibly can. And that's one of my biggest goals as the executive director is to make sure everybody hears about us and hopefully joins our mission.
You know, I was just thinking about how you would promote yourself and do things like that. Have you ever done any TV? Has any of the local stations ever had you on their television shows?
I did one interview or a quick segment out here about a year ago, yes. And so I'm working on more of those.
Yeah, you know, my whole tagline is conversations plus connections equals community.
Mm-hmm.
This is a perfect tagline for what we're doing. And you never know when somebody's listening, because I don't know the names of those that are listening that would say, you know, I work for KTLA or I do this or whatever. And it's like, I need to have this guy come and speak. Or, you know, do you go to places like Rotary meetings and other kinds of civic organizations and speak about what you do?
When I can. I try
There's
to.
Like when you find the time, right?
Yeah, or when I can find the organizations and have the time to reach out to them. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Do you belong to the chamber there where you live now in Cathedral City?
I do. I'm a member of their Rancho Mirage Chamber. I actually just did a business expo for them about a week and a half ago, which was incredible. I mean, when people hear about our organization, they love us. They get it. They just get it.
That's wonderful. So why did Home for Home decide to serve Guatemala? Because people might be listening and thinking, well, shoot, we could use something like that in where I live. Why did they go to Guatemala? I think this is a really important story about you and your organization.
Well, and that's actually very true. And that's one of the comments which I often get are people will be like, oh, that we need this here. And I'm like, yes, I agree that we do. Mm-hmm. However, the projects that we do cost $3,300. We can change the entire trajectory of a family for generations on $3,300. It's impossible to do that here. It just is. Plus, we also have, for better or worse, we do have support systems in place. We have the government agencies that can help. They're not easy, but they are there. The reason that we currently are in Guatemala is when they were founding the organization, they were looking for places that we could build, that we could have the most impact for the money. So they went and, you know, they were doing Mexico. They were looking at all these places. But what struck them about Guatemala was, one, our build partners, we can be non-denominational. I always get tongue-tied on that word. and the need. I mean, you're talking about, in Guatemala, the families that we're working with may be living on $2 a week or $2 a day. And that can be for the families and the kids. And there is no support system involved. And you're talking about over 1 million people are living like this. And the conditions that they're in, you're talking dirt floors, maybe a tarp for a roof and cornstalk walls. There is no lock on a front door. It may just be twine or a piece of wire. Hmm. So the need is really what it's based upon. I would say that's pretty much the main reason right there. And like I said, we can find build partners that are non-denominational, because that's huge for us, is that we're not affiliated with anything like that. You're more than welcome to come on and support us and build homes with us, but that's who we are. And we want to make sure that we stick with that with that core value.
So are you saying for $3,300, you have the capacity to actually build a home?
It's more than a home. So for $3,300, we create a structure. It is a safe and secure structure, which will consist of concrete floors, cinder block walls, a metal roof, metal locking door, window, clean burning wood stove, water filtration system, and bunk beds, as well as a bag of groceries for a housewarming gift.
Wow.
And that's all for $3,300.
Huh.
And the homes are built in about a week.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And excuse my interruption. So the people that are doing this actual construction, I presume they're Guatemalans. Is that right or wrong?
Yes. We have a build partner, and so they do employ local Guatemala. They employ people in Guatemala. But it's not just them. The families are part of the build as well, which is the part which I love. It's, you know, they have to help us get the materials on the job site. They're there during the day. They'll do cleanup work at the end of the night. And then even when we're done, there's still a few tasks that they have to agree to complete. And so it really is, it's a joint effort. So it's not us walking down there and being like, you get a house, then you get a house. It's no, it's based upon the need. And each family has to qualify based upon the need. But we do it with them. That, to me, is the part that it just – that's what hits home, is it really is us doing this together.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's,
I love that.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. And I just can't imagine when you go there and you witness the living conditions – and imagine that people, like you said, are living on $2 a day. These people that are helping to build these homes or do the renovations and maybe the homes that they're in, they're oftentimes the people that end up living in these homes as well, is what I understand you to say. So it's not like you have to go out and hire somebody. They're willingly wanting to help you because the benefits are enormous, correct?
For the families, yes. And the families are required to be, the families, they do need to be a part of the process. because I think that's actually, you know, one of the requirements is they have to help.
Yeah, that makes sense. And they're oftentimes probably multi-generational families, right?
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I imagine that's true. So let's talk about these homes. So you mentioned that this sort of a joint effort that the people that live there are helping to do this. Do you bring people in from the United States that also helps to build these homes as well?
So I go down twice a year.
Okay.
And when I do, we used to do just one build trip a year, but I turned, excuse me, now when I go down twice, they're both build trips. So that's our opportunity for our members and our guests to join us. And that's when, you know, we go down for about a week. We work together. You know, we're there with the build partners on site. We're there with, we're getting to know the families a little bit, and we're building a house. And it's labor. It is labor intensive, but it is, I mean, anybody who knows me knows I am not outdoorsy, but it is so much fun. I don't know how, I mean, it's genuinely fun, and you don't realize what you're doing or the impact you're having until the last day when you turn over the keys. That's, for me, Waterworks Central, because it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to process.
I bet it is. And
yeah.
I'm making a presumption here, so you'll just correct me where I'm maybe right or wrong about this. I would presume that the people that you're working with there, the families, primarily speak Spanish. Is that right?
Yes.
And are you bilingual yourself?
No, I am not. I do have an associate who lives in Guatemala. She's a part-timer, a contractor who works for us, but she's there on site with us. And the build partners that we work with, they do speak some English, so we're able to converse properly, which is great.
Good. But you go twice a year. This isn't like you're building houses every other month there. This is something that's deliberate twice a year. Is that right?
No. So the way we're structured is no. Yeah. Come on. See, you told you. You're right. I'll correct you. The way it works is because the homes are funded via members, each time they hit a goal, we fund another house. So we're funding homes all year long.
Oh, okay.
So I just happened to go down twice to participate.
I see.
But we're funding and building not building all year. They're about to close down for the holiday time, and they'll be done pretty much for November, December, but we're pretty much building all year long.
I see. Okay. So, and then, you know, with today's modern technology, I would imagine that does really probably help to be in communication for what's going on and getting the funds there. Because you have, just for people that are listening, you do have a beautiful website called homeforahome.org. And there's a lot of pictures there. There's a lot of beautiful children that are there, and you have video where you're showing people throwing brick to brick to brick, just doing this, and they do it all with a smile on their face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that there's a lot to be said for that, because so much can be gained for that, and I think it's phenomenal what you guys are doing, and I'm sure that it just warms your heart to know that these families are all being supported the way they are. So I'm just curious, because people might be wondering this, how much does it cost to do something like this?
So each one is $3,300.
That's right. You said the 33.
Yeah.
But if that's from the ground up, $3,300?
Mm-hmm. That's all in.
But what if, is it possible that maybe they do have a home, but their water or their some of the facilities within the home are not working properly? Do you assist with upgrading where they live as well?
So we don't really deal with the infrastructure. To do things like a sewer line or water or electric, we don't run those at all. What we're basically trying to do is just give people something that they can be safe and secure in. So like the one that, when I was down there, not on this current trip, but the one before that, they just had an outhouse. That was it. If there is electrical on site, our build partners may run it to the interior, but we don't provide those services. Like our mission really is just to get people safety and security.
I'm a person that likes definitions, so I'm going to mm-hmm. ask you to define something for me. When you say build partners, what does mm-hmm. that mean? Who is a build partner?
So we work with another organization who actually, they have the crew on site down in Guatemala.
Okay.
So
all
we
right.
fund the homes and they build them.
I see. So you're the funder behind, you're the bank.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I see what you're saying. So you work with them and I understand that now a little bit more clearly. So you raise this money, and there is, I will make certain that people can see how they can help donate for this, because
mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, so when, as a realtor, are you saying that part of your proceeds as a successful realtor in your business, part of those proceeds goes to help this?
Yeah. So basically the way, like, so we were structured initially, not structured, but it was kind of founded as a way for agents, when a deal closes, you agree to donate whatever percentage or dollar amount from every escrow check that you received. And so that goes to your own individual fundraiser. So, like right now, we have about 95 individual campaigns going from different industries. So we started out as agents, but we've expanded. But so when somebody joins our organization, there's basically a one-time membership fee. That's it. And then we create your own personal giving page, your own campaign. You donate directly to that. So that way, once we can monitor each individual campaign on its own. So say I fund a house. My campaign resets to zero, and then I start all over. So I'm on my way to my fourth house right now. We have one member who's done, I believe he's up to 50 homes.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, you know, and then when each home is built, there's a plaque, a little plaque that goes in each home where it acknowledges who funded the house.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And
it makes it more personal.
I bet. And really, you don't have to. Any realtor can be part of this, right?
Oh, any business can. I mean, we have
realtors. I see.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know I love me a good Chamber of Commerce. So I envision mm-hmm. our website as kind of becoming a directory where people can go on and verify who they're working with or what company they're working with and are they giving back. Because if you go onto our website, you can go to the Meet the Members section. And
right.
on the members, if they have funded homes, we're adding photos of all the homes that they have funded.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just another tool where I want people to use our website as a reference point. But yes, so long story short, any industry or person or anybody can become a member.
I think that's terrific. And your website is very factual, and I do encourage people to visit that. So you mentioned that you go a couple times a year,
mm-hmm.
and I think you were just recently there. Is that right?
I was there about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
All right. And what's the weather? What was the weather like when you were there? Does weather play a part in what they do to build these homes?
So there's always an adventure. Both times that I've been, the first time I went was earlier this year in the springtime, and I have not had a sunburn like that in a long time, but that's only because I didn't think about sunblock. So that's my bad. But on this one, we had gone down to Lake District on one day, or the Lake Region, and we were driving back, and a tropical storm was coming through.
Oh, boy.
So I always have some sort of a weather adventure. But
mm-hmm.
it was actually during the daytime for this trip, it was spectacular. And at night, it got chilly, but it was just beautiful.
Hmm.
It's a beautiful country. It really is a beautiful country.
Oh, do you know what I'm throwing this at you, and you may or may not know the answers. What's the population in Guatemala? Do you know?
Oh, that I don't know.
I'll have to Google that. I'm curious to know how many people actually live there.
Yeah.
So let's hear more about this last trip that you took, besides the fact that you had some freaky weather.
Oh, boy. So I'll tell you a little bit about this home that we built and the family that we did. So when we got to the property, it was in a more – so all of our homes are built – let me back up a little bit. So when we go down there, we fly into Guatemala City, then we drive out to Antigua, which is about an hour to 2 hours outside. It's a World Heritage UNESCO site. It is breathtakingly gorgeous, the city. Mm. I mean, it's the original cobblestone roads. It's the old Federalist architecture. It is just breathtaking. The homes that we build when we're there are normally about 30 to 40 minutes outside of the city. So you can be up in the highlands. You can be up in, as somebody referred to it there, they called it like, you know, the area that we were working in this time was kind of like the slums. So we got to the property, and it was the mom. It was basically seven people. It was the main doorway was kind of on a street side, so you would go through that, and that was literally just a sheet of metal and twine to keep people out. They did actually have a toilet at this facility, at this property. So, but the toilet was broken. And so it was broken, not necessarily, like the porcelain was actually broken. So if you were to flush it, it was kind of coming back out.
Oh, boy.
And so you walk through, so that's immediately on the right-hand side. Then you had like her kitchen space. And then you would go to, there's another area where the house was, and it was just kind of, I guess you could say it was like an L-shaped lot almost. Like, it was the best way for us to think about it. But it was all just brick walls and dirt floors. And they had a tarp for their roof. That was it. And so it was, this one was a lot to take in, especially when you realize it was the mom and the kids and then the 15-year-old daughter who was pregnant. And then her sister's kids because of it was a lot. So it was about, I want to say it was six or seven people in this maybe, if I did the rough estimate, 250 square feet.
Is there electricity?
They did have electricity, yes.
Is that common, uncommon? Does it just depend?
It depends upon where it's at.
I see.
Like, we built homes before that were up in the mountain area, and there would be no electricity there.
So you've got all these people living there. I don't hear you mentioning men. Are these all women and children?
On this build, yes. There was no husband.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
The one prior to that, there was a husband.
I see.
But I'll just give you an example of how our week goes, if I may.
Please.
So,
oh, bless. Yes. Lots of time.
Oh, yeah. So we get there. Basically, like I said, the builds are done in the span of 1 week. We show up on a Monday. All the materials have been delivered. Basically, we start right away mixing the concrete, getting the cinder block ready, and this is all done by hand. There are no machines. We're mixing the concrete. We're doing the wheelbarrows. And again, anybody who knows me knows, I'm not the most active person, but this I'm doing. And so on the first day, we basically are getting the foundation poured for the perimeter where the bricks are going to go, and we'll start doing the brickwork on top of that, about three rows. On the second day, Tuesday, we normally go visit families who've received homes in the past. So I'll tell you about that part next. So we meet about three or four families in the different areas that we've worked. What's fascinating is when we were doing it this time, actually you have some neighbors come up to us and be like, my daughter needs a house as well, or my son, or my kid, or this neighbor needs a house. And so they're working, they're introducing themselves to the build partner, and then they had their assistance with checks and balances to make sure it's a whole process. But that's Tuesday, and then Wednesday we go back and build, so we're doing more of the brickwork to get that up. And then Thursday we went back to the job site on Thursday, I believe. We went down the Lake District because I was meeting other organizations to work with. So if we don't do that, we'll also then go to a school that our build partner has created from built from the ground up to give kids the chance to have an education. And then Friday we go back and we complete the house, which will consist of painting, and put the beds together while the masons are putting the roof on and installing the window and the door and making sure everything locks properly. And then we just have a big party where we'll have like a big pizza party. The neighbors come, the kids are all there. We'll do a pinata, room permits.
Mm.
And then we just celebrate with the family and we give them their keys. This family that we met this time, when we're turning over the keys and the mom is basically telling us that she's never had anything in her entire life made for her with love.
Mm.
And she never thought that she would have a solid a house to raise her kids in that was going to be safe. And we don't think about that, what this means mm-hmm. to have that kind of an impact on somebody. I mean, to mm-hmm. hear that this woman never had anything in her life made for her with love,
mm-hmm.
that hurt.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
to hear that. Earlier
wow.
in the week, when we had gone to visit the family, when I was down there earlier in the year in March, we had built enough of a house for this family. So I went back and I visited them. That family we had taken from basically a 10-by-10 structure for the parents and their kids with one bed
oh my
and
goodness.
Dirt floors. Yeah. Their front door consisted of, it was again a sheet of metal, two eye hooks and wire. That was how they locked everything. So we created, you know, we worked with them to build them a house. So now we're going back there and we're talking to them and the mom looked like there was such a weight off of her shoulders. I don't even know how to express it because all the kids were in school. They had done more work to the house. They had added a gutter system to collect rainwater. The kitchen was no longer smelled of smoke because of the wood-burning stove that we provide for them. It's a clean burning and sort of vented outside. You know, she also was telling us that her mother had recently passed, but she got to see her granddaughters. She got to know that granddaughters were going to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I mean, I don't even know how to express what this means, but it's something
yeah.
that I knew what we did, but these were my first two times going down there and experiencing it, which kind of drilled home even more for me the need for this.
It's just,
you know, but like the family we helped on this last build trip, it's just beautiful to get to know these families and to see them. And then when we go back and visit them, it's like, we're here to just help you. It really is about the opportunity and what you can do with it. It's up to you. It is
mm-hmm.
genuinely up to every single person. But for a lot of people, they're not even going to have a chance if they don't have a place to call home.
Right.
And we can do that for people that need something so bad. Like you're talking about living on $2 a day if you're lucky. And that could be to raise for the mom and the kids and everybody.
How do they get their food? I mean, how do they survive on that?
There's a lot of issues there. But, I mean, think about it. So, like, what we're able to do by just giving them a locking door.
Yes.
I mean, think about what
safety.
That means. It's opportunity because both parents can now work if they want. They don't have to worry that their kids are going to be home in a place that doesn't lock.
Right.
You know, they can leave their daughters at home to go to work.
Mm.
It's so much more than what we – it goes so much deeper than what we think. But I think there's also that comes in, like, there's a pride and a dignity, and it's community. It's all of these things coming together to just – you know, we're here to help each other. And that's what this is all about. I have an opportunity to help somebody get further along that would never have this chance. Why on earth wouldn't I do that?
Right. Do these children? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your thought. I'm just thinking about the lifestyle you've just mm-hmm. described. Security, physical security, that they're safe in their homes because
mm-hmm.
they can lock it. You've talked mm-hmm. about the fact that now maybe they have a working kitchen and working toilets and maybe running
mm-hmm.
water. Do these children that live in these homes, do they go to school? What is the lifestyle like for the children that live there?
So when I was down there, not on this current trip, but on the one prior, we went to the school
mm-hmm.
and the most beautiful thing I think I've ever seen in my life, but it was also the hardest thing, I think, one of the hardest things I've ever heard in my life, is that normally the kids, the sons will get through about ninth grade, And then, but that's it. So once they get through maybe ninth grade, then they have to go work in the fields because now it's time to support the family.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought of a higher education isn't necessarily there. For the daughters, it'll be probably around the same before they start having kids.
Hmm.
So it's, it's a very different thing than we're used to.
Yeah.
And I think it's also, you know, and that's where, you know, like the bill partner who did the school, it's just showing we're not trying to change anybody. That's not what this is about. But it is just trying to say there's options out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, when I'm hearing that, you know, the moms will come into the school for the meetings because the dads either are not involved or they have to work, and they're talking to them and they're telling them that, you know, domestic violence is not okay. Alcoholism is not normal. But they're also telling that to third graders. That hit me.
Hmm.
That was like a 2x4 hitting me against the head because
wow.
I had never thought about that before.
Hmm.
You know, that's a conversation you have with a third grader.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? I mean, when you think about that. I don't hear any judgment. What I hear from you is total compassion. It's not like, well, I can't believe you do that. That isn't part of this at all. I hear you saying is, how can we, as humans, help other humans? And are there churches? Are there any places where people gather together as a group?
It is a very religious area. So
I would think so.
But it's also a family area. So a lot of it will come. You're with your family a lot.
I see. That's great. So they do go to school if they can, I presume, you were just saying. But like you said, if they can. And but I guess I'm trying to visualize the landscape. So it sounds like it's very country-like, is that right? There's fields and crops and things like that that they work in?
In areas, yes. Yes.
Some areas, okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, so there'll be, like, there's big sugar factories, or the sugar's big there. Coffee is one of the bigger fields. The fathers and sons will often go out to work in the fields, and then they'll come back in the evenings. Like, the house that we did last time, we were there during the day. The girls would be in school, but the son, you know, if they were of age, but the son would be off working with the dad in the fields. But at the end of the day, everybody was back there with us to build. Like, they would come back from work, and the father and the son, they are right there throwing themselves in the mix, being like, what do we need to do? On the last day, the daughters play hooky, which I was fine with that, and we're painting the house. And, you know, you're hearing, it's about 250 square feet. It's a very basic structure. It's just reinforced cinder block walls. But they're painting this house, and the daughters are going, we're going to have the most beautiful house.
Gosh,
this is the best way that I can describe this. Each trip that I've gone on to now, I call it kind of the Great Reset, because you're seeing what it means to really just be happy. Like, these families, they may not have, in our minds, they may not have anything, and even in their minds, they may not as well, but they're happy. They're
Isn't that
struggling.
Something?
Yeah, and then I come back here, and everybody's like, oh, I need a new iPad. I need this. It's like, priority. So I called it the Great Reset. It's like, okay, got it. Like, this is what it's about. It's like, let's help everybody just have an opportunity. And like I said, there is no judgment on any family. There's no judgment. You can't control what you're born into. You can't control the world that you have. But let's work together to help people have an opportunity. That's what it's about.
I'm trying to visualize this in my mind, and I'm thinking about, okay, so there's crops, or there's coffee, or whatever is being, and yet you work that, and do women and men both do that? I mean, is there age or gender connected to those kinds of jobs?
So from my understanding is that usually it's the men that are working in the fields. I'm not going to say that the women don't, but I think it is primarily the men who do it, whereas the women will be home taking care of the kids, or they'll do artisan work such as, you know, the knitting work or any of that kind of stuff.
Oh, sure, right. But you're out there working in the
beautiful textiles I've seen.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
That would be incredible.
So you're out there working in the fields. Mm-hmm. It's the end of the week, and you've made $2 a day doing it. Why are they paid so poorly? Because they can't be. No one can afford to pay them more than that.
Whew. That now we're starting to get into the deeper subjects.
Well,
we've
got some time.
Yeah, from my understanding, and I don't want to speak out of turn on this one, but I think it's basically you can get away with paying people that. Simple as that.
Hmm. Okay.
You get away with.
Well, that's too bad. So, do you have any other stories you'd like to just share about one of the families? I mean, you've been there twice. Any other story that touched your heart?
I mean, going back and visiting the family from when we were there in March and seeing them mm-hmm. and what they did to this house. You literally just walked out, and I remember I'm with Lourdes, my coworker, and we were just looking at each other, and we're like, they got it. They just get it.
Good.
They just get it. I mean, they have, like I said, they have an outhouse there, but they had walled off part of their property to keep the farm animal, to keep, because they had horses as well, because, and that's how they would keep, so they were able to keep that separate from where they live. So they added a fence up to that. They added the gutter system to collect the rainwater. The mom's tortilla business, she just looked so happy because she was able to make more to sell now. You know, the kids looked happy and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, we did a pilot program about a year or so ago in a different area where we just did concrete floors and metal roofs for people. And this was up in the Highland in a very impoverished part of the country. And I got the photos back. And that was one of the first times I'd actually really seen it. But you just saw it was the kids that got to me because you had the before photo and the after, and it was literally – you noticed the house was different. You knew all that. It was the clean clothes. That's what got to me.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's like they're no longer living on dirt. Literally the families were helping have dirt floors. And so think about what that means when it rains.
Oh,
uh-huh.
And it must rain there a lot, right?
It does. And when you got, you know, it rains, they have a very heavy rainy season. But you've also got the disease that comes up and all the different things that come up through dirt. And that's what people are living on. So we're able to just take them to a concrete floor and just that alone. Counting the cinder, you know, a locking door, but to have clean feet and clothing. And not have to worry about things coming up through the ground.
I'm just thinking about bugs, you know, and mosquitoes and rats and, oh, God, I mean, it could be anything, right?
Or just the bacteria or anything else that's seeping up through the ground.
Right. Wow.
You know, so that will impact a kid's growth. That can impact their cognitive abilities. So all of these things, it goes so far beyond just a structure. It really does. Sorry, I feel like I'm getting on a soapbox. I just am so
do. But you know, here's the thing, and Joel, and it's not that you're on a soapbox. It's just that you have a passion for what you're doing.
Yeah.
And not only do you have the passion for doing it, but to be able to witness it, to be able to physically go there and say, oh my gosh. Because of this organization that we've helped put together, that you are the executive director of, and you've got a board. It's not like you're doing this by yourself. You know, the fact that you're making these changes in the lives of people, you may never know the impact that you've had on somebody.
No.
I mean, I'm just trying to visualize. You know, are there hospitals? Are there? How do people get taken care of there?
That honestly, I don't know. to be perfectly honest with you. I know there are hospitals, there's doctors and things like that. I just don't know how you pay for it. And because I also don't know what their system is compared to ours.
Right.
But you asked me to tell you about another family, so I will.
Please.
So when I was down there, before, I mentioned we have build partners. So one of the homes that, as we're going around and we're between these homes, we go to one house and I realize, I know as it was explained to me, was one of these were homes that I had funded. And I walk in the house and it turns out that this house was actually one that I funded for one of our build, for one of the masons that we work with.
Okay.
So it was beautiful. They had done more work on the house. It was immaculate. The kid came home from school, clothes were pressed and perfect. And then the next day, that same mason and I are literally side by side building a house together for another family. That hit me so hard. Again, I got hit. Apparently I get hit a lot, but you know, you're working, you did something to help somebody else out and now they're doing it to pay it forward to the next person.
Right.
And you're like going, ah, like that's what this is all about. It's all about that. And he's the nicest guy.
Wow.
I mean, I love what we do so much. I'm imagining that comes across pretty well. But I just think it's something that we take for granted, and I'm wishing that we could do it here, but there's no way we could do this for $3,300 here. It's that physically impossible.
Oh, of course not. Right, right.
But we're able to help people that may not have a chance at all.
Are there other organizations that work with you to, you know, other nonprofits and things like that that help support you?
So we did just launch I teamed up with another nonprofit in Guatemala that works with coffee farmers. So what they do, so they work with co-ops to make sure that coffee growers are paid a fair wage. So what we now do is we sell their coffee on our website, and then we receive a portion of the proceeds from it.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
And it's good coffee. I actually drink it. We do that. So that way, we call it coffee for a cause, but it really does. So you're able to help two organizations with like one cup of coffee.
So, that's a great way for people like our listeners to get involved. Would that be a great way to mention that? Is that a way
and
for...
And then I'm looking for, mm-hmm. Anybody can go onto our shop and you can create a subscription, homeforahome.org/shop, and you can see the coffee program up there.
Nice.
So we do that one. I'm looking at exploring. We've been talking to another nonprofit. They work with local artisans, and so that's the women who do the textiles and things like that.
Oh yeah,
to see if we can create a program to start selling, to work with them for sales to help generate more money for them and money for us.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal is I want to do more with the local nonprofits that are doing more within the community, so we can help the farmers who may not get a house, but we can make sure that they're paid because we can sell their product. You know, so it's like all these little webs. I just want us to become more involved in doing more.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense. I'm just trying to imagine what the government must be like, and do they even know what you guys are doing to help the people that live there?
I tried reaching out to – I was in touch, or I have been in touch with the Guatemalan consulate up in San Francisco, because that is where the organization was founded. So I've had some communications with them. They've heard of us, and I know other organizations have heard of us, but there's a lot of organizations down there that are doing work. But I do believe our name is growing, because every time I was down there, or, you know, Lourdes was reaching out to people, they're like, oh, yeah, we've heard of you. We know who you are. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay. This is awesome. Our little thing. People know about us.
That's nice. I can't imagine what it must be like to be that mom or that 10-year-old little boy or little girl and living in something that was so what we would consider impossible to live in. And now they actually, I mean, I'm just thinking about just being cold at night or having a blanket or, you know, things that we just take so for granted that it's amazing that that you are able to change the lives of so many people. There are a lot of people that live in Guatemala, right? Is there over 1 million people that live there?
Oh, there's over 1 million below the poverty line.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, there are millions of people there, yeah.
So, okay, so you mentioned that there's maybe 1 million people living below the poverty line. Are the people that are living above the poverty line, are they partnering with you to help these folks as well?
Not really, to be honest.
Oh,
not
that's
with
too
us.
Bad.
You know, when I was down there last time, I did have a couple of meetings with people that live and work in Guatemala, and they know what we do. So we're starting to have the conversations about ways that they can get involved as well with the work that we're doing.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, it takes time.
It
and
does.
More outreach. Yeah.
And commitment and mm-hmm. and your partners. I mean, you have just a beautiful website. I really do encourage people to go and visit that. And, I mean, you can even buy a coffee mug there if you want. You know, there's a lot of different
yeah.
things that you can do on that website. And you can become a member, right? I mean, what does it mean
yeah.
to become a member?
So we have, I'll say really quick on the website, there's pages on there now where you can go out there and meet the families. So we've been uploading
mm-hmm.
photos of every single house that's been built.
Oh,
so
that's
we recently,
nice.
Or every family that we've done. So we recently just did Project 547. So in 12 years, we've impacted 547 families.
Wow.
That's incredible. And so, but as far as the ways that somebody can, so there are different things that you, so if somebody wants to become a member, which I encourage everybody to do, we have three
mm-hmm.
tiers. We have a nonprofit, which is $100 one-time fee, an individual membership, which is $200, and then a corporate, which is $300. These are all one-time fees. Basically what that does is that helps offset the cost of us creating everything for them. So once they become a member, we create their own personal fundraising campaign. We create a spreadsheet to help monitor their progress. And then we also add them to our website. And then we announce them in our newsletter, which goes out once a month. We don't promote people on social media because I want to make sure they donate before they do that.
Right.
But, you know, and so that's really – and then from there, once you have your campaign set, it's just up to you to fundraise. You know, you donate when you can. I have a yoga instructor. She donates. You know, we have lenders. We've got builders. We've got all these different careers on there. And it's just anybody who wants to just help people with a house, this is how you can do it. And the best part is that our overhead, when you're donating to fund a house, the vast, and I would say I'm not going to get into the actual breakdown, but the vast majority of all that money goes straight to the house. We don't keep hardly anything from that for overhead. So it's not like you're donating to one big pool and then we divide it up. No, you are donating to build a house.
So if you go to your website, and I'm looking at that right now, and I say
mm-hmm.
I want to make a $100 donation as a nonprofit organization, and I would click on nonprofit member, I presume that's what I would do. Is that
mm-hmm.
what I would do if I wanted? And then from that position, then that would be where I would then take me to where I could then make a $100 pledge. Is that what I would do next?
No. So
oh.
basically, we also have different funding routes to go here as well. So because
okay.
of the way that we're structured, to fund the homes, you want to pretty much donate either to our Builders Guild or to a member campaign. If you want to support the organization, which basically allows us to further our mission, it keeps the overhead going, it keeps all the infrastructure in place that we need, you donate directly to Home for a Home.
Oh, which is on your donate bill. I see that.
Yes.
That's a donate button. Then you can select whatever you'd like. Okay, and
yes.
then you can do that once a month. You can do that annually. You can do it however you'd like to do that. I see that.
Yes.
That's really great. Okay. That's nice. And, you know, because people are listening and they might want to say, you know what, I'd like to just support this organization for whatever
yeah.
that amount of money is and do that. You can do it once. You can do it annually. You can do it however you'd like. And I think that's really good to know. And I can't not do this podcast with you and not donate myself because I will.
Well, yeah, and we did just launch.
Go ahead.
So we, and when it comes to that, we launched the program recently called our Friendship Fund. So that's basically a minimum contribution of $100 a month, which goes to support the organization. So we can build the reserves, and we can go to the conferences, and we can do all the things that we need to support the membership and grow it. So with that contribution of $100 a month, you'll receive a Guatemalan friendship bracelet, which was made by one of the local artisans, and your choice of either a bag of coffee or our Building Better Futures baseball cap. And then we also send out a quarterly newsletter where you'll get to meet one of the families. And
nice.
So that's part of the Friendship Fund, is that it's really about becoming part of the organization.
Got it. So you have a lot of options here.
Yeah.
A lot of different ways of being involved. So we just have another couple of minutes, and I just wanted to ask you on a personal level, and I'm just curious about this. So it's like you want to take a deep breath here. So how do you balance all that you do in your professional life and your personal life? Are you a yogi? Do you do things that just balances you out?
You know, I like being on my couch with my dog.
Oh, you have a dog. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our neurotic baby Chester.
Isn't that funny? All right, well.
He's the best.
So isn't that the greatest? Oh, you know,
yeah.
I think that's great. So you've got that dog. I can appreciate that. So do you walk him?
You know what? He's lazy. He's just like his dad. We're not outdoorsy people, and neither is he. Like, I'll look at him, and I'll be like, Chester, you want to go outside? And he's like, no. I'm on the couch. What's wrong with you?
Oh, that's so funny. I like it. Let's just sit here and be on the couch, Dad. Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
Exactly. Rub my belly. It's not going to rub itself. That's kind of the way he is, and I love it.
That's great. And, you know, you do need some downtime. You know, I mean, truly, you know, I can appreciate the responsibilities and the demands of your job and being able to just... Well, because balance is important. I know for myself, if I only work and I don't get out and exercise and take a walk and just breathe in some air and take a yoga class online or whatever I do to just sort of calm myself down, you know, those things are important to me as well, to just have a balance, I guess is what I'm trying to say, you know, and I think that we all benefit by having that kind of a balance in our life where we just went, oh, boy, I'm okay now, you know?
I'm probably the worst one when it comes to that. I will freely admit I'm probably one of the worst with that.
Well, it's something that you can consider. Like, what could you do that? Maybe it's simply just taking your cell phone outside and taking of a bird, or taking a picture of the skylight, or taking a picture of billowy clouds. You know, it could be a variety of different things that just takes you away from everything, you know, that you're being responsible for. And I think that sometimes that kind of balancing is important, because, you know, you are very involved in what you do.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, you know, when it comes to work-life balance, we all run into this because, unfortunately, we live in a world that we are connected because of our phones. And so for me, it's like I had to start learning, my phone goes on silent every night at 8 p.m. It automatically sets to shut down. So it's like those kind of things I try to place the barriers on. When it's the weekends, I try to force myself not to work, even though if I have things to do, I try to force it and just not reply to the emails, because I have to shut it out at some point. We all do.
Well, and and you know, I would agree and disagree with what you say, and that is that because of the modern technology that we have now, we are able to do precisely what you and I are doing. We don't live near one another. We're both in California, but I have many guests that are on the East Coast. I wouldn't be able to do that without the technology that we have today. And by having this technology and sharing this wherever our links are, whatever it might be, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever people use, it does get the information out there that maybe somebody would not have gotten otherwise. So I look sort of at this technology as a friend most of the time. I mean, it's challenging, I'm not going to lie. It brings its own set of challenges, but the benefits are tremendous, and I just want to thank you for spending this hour with me and sharing what's
so.
That was fast. Honey, it was an hour. How that went fast, right? Should we go get a drink? I'm just kidding.
You're not drinking right now?
No, but I plan on drinking later today. How about you? Oh my goodness! Oh my gosh! Too much overshare, right? But Joel, just thank you.
Thank you for
spending this time for what you do, because you may never know, Joel, you may never know the impact that you have made on these lives. You may never know, but you have.
Thank you.
And when you close your eyes at night and you say to yourself, wow, this made a difference for this family, for this child, you know, to live in an area that now makes them safe. Do you have that? My hand goes to my heart, because you can say, I'm a part of that. You don't have to say, oh, I'm the best and I'm really, or, you know, you don't go there. That's not who you are. But
no.
You know that by what you do, that you, 547 homes, families, come on.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people that have been impacted by what Home for a Home does. So thank you so much for being with me today. This is why I love what I do. You love what you do.
No,
I love what I do as well. So thank
it
you. We may have to do this again sometime, all right?
I would love to.
Okay, and next time you're in this side of town, please let's get together. All right, everybody. So you know how you can contribute, and I want to thank Joel once again, and I hope you all have a great rest of your week. We've got one more Monday in November, and I'll be back again next week. Have a great day, everybody. Bye for now.
As a small business owner, you put in unlimited hours, unlimited effort, and unlimited passion. Why? Because you know that your business has unlimited potential. Spectrum Business can connect you to that potential with the fastest, most reliable internet, U.S.-based customer support, and multi-layer security to protect your business. To learn how Spectrum Business can put anything within reach, visit spectrum.com/business. Your business made limitless. That's life. Unlimited.